Well, good morning on this cold morning. It's hard to know what the weather's going to be like these days, isn't it? Today, the reading that I'm going to be preaching from is from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Jeremiah, and it's the time when Jeremiah is called to be a prophet. He's a very young boy at this time. We always picture prophets as being rather older and experienced and wise, but it's important to remember that he's a young boy at this time and feels very inadequate about being called to this position. And so keep that in the back of your mind as you hear this scripture reading about his call and his commission that he hears directly from God. And this is from the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I pray that you would take the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my mind and the feelings of my heart, and that to you and to these your loving children they would be acceptable. Amen. A while back, I was at a swim meet, which is not an uncommon thing for me since I have two daughters who are swimmers, but a while back I was at a swim meet. And I had a very interesting conversation that I want to tell you about this morning. If you have a swimmer in the family, and I know some of you do because we've talked about that, you know that swim meets can be quite long and tedious. And my girls aren't here today, so I can say that, even though they know the same can be true. But a swim meet goes something like this. You watch for about 20, anywhere from 23 to 25 seconds. You watch them dive into the pool, swim, you know, to one end and then back, and then you wait for about 2 hours for the next event. That's how they go. Well, on this particular day, I decided that in between the events, which is the major part of the whole swim meet, that I would go out and I would sit at the concession area where tired parents sit and kind of slump over and wait for the next event to happen. So I decided I would go out to that concession area and do some sermon preparation because it was on a Friday evening, and the sermon and the Sunday morning was coming up, and swim meets go from about 8 in the morning until about 6 at night, or even later sometimes. So I needed to use that time productively. So I went out there to do some sermon preparation. And I sat down at the end of a very long table, and it was scattered with remnants of swimmers and their parents who had come for a snack or for whatever reason just to get out of the pool area for a while. There were wet chairs and tables. It was, you know, kind of messy, and empty Gatorade bottles and broken goggles and, you know, just things that people had left behind. T-shirts, all towels, whatever you want to imagine, that will all be in the lost and found at the end of the meet where swimmers always go to do most of their shopping. So I took out my Bible and my notebook, and I began to do a little bit of sermon preparation. And a man sat down from me about two chairs down on the other side, and he sat down there, and I looked up, and I said hello. And after a moment, he asked me what I was doing, what I was reading. And I said, "The Bible." He said, "Oh." Kind of turned away. And his face was blank, and I was reminded about what a friend had told me once, some advice that she had given me, when she once said that if you want people, and this is good advice, she said, if you want people to leave you alone on an airplane, just open your Bible and start reading it. I was reminded of that, and I thought, you know, that it's really true. So he looked back at me after a minute and he said, "Is it good?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it is pretty good." And he said, "Oh." And then after another pause, he said, "I guess that's why they call it the good book." Right. After another moment, he said, "I used to go to church." And I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, why did you stop?" He said, "Well, you know, I went away to college, and, you know, I kind of got away from it. And you know how it is." I said, "Yeah, I do know how that is." And after he went silent for a moment, I decided that it was time for me to let him off the hook, you know, rather than to torture him anymore. And so I asked him about himself, and I said, "Do you have a swimmer here at the meet?" And then he went on about that, and yeah, he had a son who was trying to do this and that and entered some races, and we had a nice conversation about that. We talked on and on about swimming. But I thought about our conversation, and it reminded me of how difficult it really is in our world to share the good news or even have a conversation out of the context of church or our friends, you know, in Bible study, or out of the context of a safe environment when we are with other Christians who we know are engaged in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so I thought about that and how difficult it was. I didn't know what his background was or anything, and I wasn't going to push that at that moment because I could tell that he was uncomfortable with that. I wasn't going to evangelize at a swim meet at that moment unless he had asked me more questions because I could tell he was uncomfortable. And I thought about the people that I worship with every week, my congregation, you know, and wondered about how difficult that must be for many of you as well, and how you must wonder what your mission is in the world and how to share that. Have you ever wondered that, what your mission is in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and how to do that as a Christian? You know, Jesus said, "I give them a mission to the world," you know, to the whole world. Now, our world is quite a bit different than the world that Jesus experienced when he was God incarnate. Obviously, our world has many different religions, and we know about all of those. But have you ever thought about what your own mission is in this community and other places? In Jeremiah, we're told that even before he was formed in his mother's womb, that God put the words in his mouth. I love this passage. I really do. Because it tells us that even before we are formed in our mother's womb, you know, that even before we are born, that God gives us a purpose as children of God to be blessed and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, could it be true, as I think it is, that God has a purpose for each and every one of us in this world to share that good news? Could that be true? I think we don't always know which direction to go or how to achieve that purpose. You know, have you ever felt that way, that you don't know what to do with that? You come here, worship, we go from here, and we go to our day-to-day lives, and we do what we do into our routines, but we don't always know how to achieve that purpose. Could it be that we aren't sure how to do that? Today, just for this time, during this meditation, before we go to the table, you know, that sacred meal that we share that brings us all together around a table that is universal. So today, during this meditation time, I want us to consider very deeply, each and every one of us in this room, what God is calling us to do. I want you to consider in your hearts what God is calling you to do as a Christian. I know that sometimes this seems like an insurmountable task, and sometimes at this point, when a preacher or an elder or whoever brings this up, we just sort of want to shut down because we feel that we don't know where to go from that, and that, you know, sure, that's okay for preachers and for elders or for others to talk about that, you know, but that's not really what I want to do or can do or know how to do. But just like Jeremiah, you know, we may feel that that is not, as he said, that is not what we are to do, or that we don't feel as though we can do that. You know, as he said, "I'm just a boy," but we all have different excuses, or or not excuses, but inadequacies in our own minds of why we can't do that. And I know that we feel that way, that we're not right for the job, or whom shall I go to share these words with, you know, this good news. You know, Jeremiah tells us, I'm afraid. I feel uncomfortable. What will people think? You know, that I'm some kind of weirdo? Because people encounter those types of evangelists as well. I go to visit my daughter in Ann Arbor, and every time we're leaving there, there's someone on the corner with a microphone who's preaching out, you know, the end of the world. You've seen those kind of people. And we don't want to be seen as someone that doesn't understand theology or that goes outside the realm of good Presbyterian behavior. You know, we don't want to be seen as anybody like that. So how can we make a difference, you know, as good Presbyterians and remain in that realm and still share the good news? Because even Presbyterians are called to be evangelists. And so Jeremiah had that problem, but then in God's amazing way, you know, he said to Jeremiah, as he says to us too, you can do it. You can do it. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of because you're telling the truth, the greatest truth. And that more importantly than that, Jeremiah said, I'm giving you the words. I'm giving you the way, and I'll be with you during that time, and I will make you strong for this task and whatever it may be. You know, each of us is called to a task. I like what Richard Bach wrote. He was the author of that great book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And he said, here is the test. I love this. He said, here is the test to find out whether your mission on earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't. So there you go. And that pertains to all of us in this room. And yet so often we aren't sure. It's awkward. We feel unequipped. There are what I call roadblocks to sharing our faith. And I'd like to touch briefly upon those this morning, beginning with the most obvious one of all and the most biblical one of all, just the one that Jeremiah touched on, the one that, God, I can't do this. You know, I'm going to leave that up to the preachers or to the elders or to someone else, that I'm not the one. And I can relate to this because Jeremiah was a boy when he was called to do this. I was 14 years old when I was called to the ministry, and I remember thinking, God, I can't do this. I didn't tell anybody. I was afraid. And also I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm a 14-year-old teenage girl. This was in the 70s. Now, I was sure that this was a call from God, and I can tell you this because no 14-year-old girl back at that time would have ever come up with this on her own, ever, you know, in a million years. And so I was convinced that this was a call from God, but God responded, you know, to me and kept me along that track, and here I am today. And I really, you know, as I look back, there's something in me that relates to Jeremiah's story, that before I was even born, you know, that before I was even born, that God knew it, and here I am. You know, it's also kind of like the Moses complex, if you remember Moses and his call, that he's just up on the mountain, and all of a sudden, you know, this bush burst in front of him in flames, and some people need a little bit more, you know, drama to get their attention. You know, I can see why he would be like, you know, I'm afraid. but he said, no, I'm not the one. I don't speak right. I don't act right. I'm just not the one. And so God called him and kept saying, but you are, and you're going to do this for me. And I will give you the words, and I'll help you by using others to help you do that, your brother, and, you know, and you will go and you will do this. And look at what he ended up doing. So sometimes we think we can't do it because we don't have that chutzpah, or we're too young, or you know, childlike, even in our faith or age or whatever that might be. But if you believe that the truth of the message of Jesus Christ is there, you know, that it's the truth, the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then, you know, then God will give you a way. maybe in small ways. You know, you don't have to go preach on the corner with a microphone, but in small ways, just by being kind and gracious and giving to people. There's another way, I think, that sometimes we feel that we can't do it because it seems so huge. You know, there's so much in the world that is so troubling. And every day there's some new. Every day when I get up and I turn on the news, which I almost am afraid, or more afraid to do than anything else, there's something that comes across the news that is so troubling. And we feel like it's too much, that where do we even begin, that, you know, we can't narrow it down because there's just too much of that and we don't know where to go. But what I can say is that every small thing that you do is more than would have been done if you hadn't done it. There's a great story that I want to share with you, and this has always been one of my favorite stories because I think that it really illustrates how every single thing you do makes a difference. It's a story about an older gentleman, and he was walking along the seashore one day in the hot sun. And as he walked, you know, and he was very, very hot, and he was sweating, and he seemed to be in a hurry, and every few steps that he took, he would bend over and he would pick up a starfish. And he would pick up that starfish, and he would take it from the burning sands, and he would cast it back into the cool waves. And one after another, he would pick up the starfish and he would cast it back into the water. And some would come back onto the hot sand, wash back up, and he would go out deeper into the water and set it out there. And then a younger man came along and, after having watched us for a while, told the old man, you're just wasting your time. There's no use in doing that. You're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy. There are other things to do. Thousands of starfish, though, are there in the sand, and what difference can that possibly make with all of those starfish there? But the old man kept going, walking down the beach and doing this, ignoring the younger man. And he simply bent over, and he picked up another starfish, and he threw it into the water. And as he quickly moved on to the next one, the old man turned to the younger man, who kept hounding him and following him down the way. And he said, well, as he threw one into the water, he said, it made a difference to that one. There is no such thing as an insignificant act. No such thing as that when it's done out of love. And each time you tell someone of the love of Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you that it will make a difference for that one. I mean, I recall times, one time in particular, when I was 12 years old, when somebody came up to me, and I was sitting by the tennis courts, and I had lost, which wasn't infrequent for me when I was that age and playing tennis. And it was one of my mother's friends, and she sat down next to me, and she kind of brushed my head aside, and she comforted me, and she just said, you know, God loves you so much, and you're just such a beautiful girl. I will never forget that, and that was a lot of years ago. Think of something like that, that if you do something like that, and think of how our children, they will remember that all their lives, those kind and tender moments, just those things that you do for them or for each other as friends. People remember these kind acts. You know, think of the times when somebody maybe smiled at you. You can remember those things, can't you? Just those kind and gentle acts. But sometimes we think we can't do anything to make a difference. Those things make a difference. Or if you just hug someone and say, you know, God loves you so very much, and so do I, and I'll be there for you. No matter what happens, I will be there for you. Those words mean more than anything to people. So today I invite you to consider that nothing you do in this area is insignificant, you know, or doesn't matter, but that the time is now, and that you are smart enough, you are old enough, you are young enough, whatever enough, you know, whatever might be standing in your way, because you are the way God created you, and God calls you to do this, to do all of these things. I want to share one last story with you, because I think that sometimes there are other things that get in the way, and that's that we feel we're not in the right place, you know? That if we're not in church or we're not where there are other Christians, we feel like, you know, I mean, like, who goes to a football game and sits down and starts talking about Jesus? You know, the Super Bowl, there's not going to probably be a lot of evangelism going on. But, in fact, quite the opposite, probably. But I just want to tell you about a story that happened to me in my first church. And it's kind of a funny story, but it made a difference. And I never thought that it would. But one day after church, I stopped at the grocery store, as I often do on the way home from church. And when I got to the bread aisle, I saw a member of my church. And this is, I was at the White Lake Presbyterian Church, which all of you know that where that is. But it used to be a little old church over on Ormond Road. And I would stop at the White Lake Market on the way home. And so I stopped there at that little store, and I saw a member of my church, and I always ran into people there. And it was a nice kind of rural community. And I saw her, and we started chatting. And I couldn't help but notice that her grocery list was written on the bulletin from the service that morning. I mean, you know, we always joke about writing the grocery list on the bulletin, but hers really was on the bulletin. And so, being the person that I am to never let an opportunity pass, I said, well, I guess we know what you were doing during the sermon this morning. She said, no, it was during the announcements or the hymn or something like that. And I said, you know, that's okay. I'm just glad to run into you. And so we started talking, and we were laughing a little bit about it. And there was a young woman there, and she was kind of standing there, and she said, I'm sorry, I couldn't help but overhear you, but that is such a funny story. And the woman that I had caught with the bulletin grocery list said, well, she's our pastor, which made it even funnier to the woman that ran into us. And so we told her the name of the church, and my friend started telling her a little bit about it. And then she looked at me and she said, oh, I'd love to come there because I'm engaged. And I thought, oh, here we go, you know. She needs a church to get married in. But she brought her fiancé to church, and they started coming regularly, which is a little bit uncommon. Usually it's they stop in, get married, you know, that kind of thing. But they started coming regularly, had their wedding there, and attended there. And in fact, the fiancé who became the husband actually became a member of the session. And so the point of that story is that you never really know where and how you're going to meet people that you might evangelize to in very unusual ways. You know, it can happen anywhere. You know, it can happen at a swim meet. It can happen on a beach. It can happen in the bread aisle of a grocery store. You really, really never know how you can be a witness to Jesus Christ. And so ask yourself, you know, today as you go, what is God asking me to do? What did God create me for? What is my purpose in the Church of Jesus Christ? That's your mission, you know, and explore that, your call to evangelism. And most of all, tell your story of how you have been affected by your faith, because you never know just what that may do for another living soul. Amen.